Okay. Awesome. So,
yay.
Thank you so much for joining us today. And I'm so, so excited that we got this to work and that we can hear Leah and see Leah. And yeah, this is really, really special and exciting for me. So we're going to jump right in because you guys have been super patient. And just start with some introductions. So I'll just do a quick little hello from me. My name is Sina, and I've been working with Leah for the past 2.5 years. She's been supporting me as an ascension guide, and I've received just so much growth and support in finding my own sovereignty, and she's really helped me just find my unique path and way of being of service and what we're really doing here as a collective. She's kind of helped me plug into this like bigger picture that we're working in, which has been very, very supportive for me in so many ways. And so I'll just leave my intro really short and pass it over to Leah. If you could just tell us a little bit about yourself and your work.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Sina, for getting us here, getting us through all the technical whatever. Okay, well, my work is really my work overall for this incarnation is to help resolve all my karma so that there's none left. And with that, I also am helping the earth to bridge and wrap up the old lower timelines and transition into an ascended phase and create that foundation. That includes, that is ascension for the earth. And so that also includes working with people as an ascension guide. Mm-hmm. So I talk about it as one thing because ultimately it is one thing with several parts, but really it's, we're at this time now where it's an accelerated period. It's an accelerated period in which the way that we have been doing things and the frequency space that we have been in, it's timing out, and the light is increasing on the planet. And so the work that I do really is in to support people in that and sort of be a translator for all the light potentials that are coming in, help translate that for people in a way that is specific to their soul path. Because we're really just moving into a whole new thing on the planet. Mm-hmm. And for anybody who is not going to really stay unconscious or go backwards, we are in an ascension process. If we're not going to stay totally asleep right now on the earth, whoever's not going to go into a backwards trajectory or stay asleep is going to be ascending. And so the work that I do is to help translate the light potentials and to also help people stay connected to the truth of what's happening through their ascension process, because it's basically a two-part thing. It's the old breaking down, and personally also for people, mm-hmm. It means the disillusion of the old smaller egoic self and ascending into your full light self. It's a two-pronged process. Mm-hmm. Expanding into your full light self sounds amazing, and it is. The disillusion of the egoic survival self is very challenging. It's extremely challenging. But it's really not too hard if we know what's happening.
Mm-hmm. And so you're supporting us in that, basically. You're helping us have that greater picture, that greater context of
right.
everything that you just shared, which is a lot, you know, and it's
yeah. I mean, the idea is that ascension will call us, you know, it will feel it in our hearts, and we will be called to kind of rise to the occasion of our emerging light. Mm-hmm. Our old survival self that adapted to 3D is not going to want to do that.
Right.
So we enter into a process where that our egoic self doesn't totally want to do. But the idea here is that the call to love light frequencies and living that again is becoming stronger all the time and more irresistible. And so when we're clear about what's happening, allowing the small self to kind of shift and change or clear as needed isn't that big of a deal, ultimately. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing that is coming up that you shared with me at one point was that my human are, like, each of our human aspects is the smallest part of our true self.
Yeah.
And that really helped me just be like, oh my God, like, I feel like this is, there's so much in the human experience. It's such a big thing, right? And it's like, you know, very challenging, and there's so many emotions and feelings and ups and downs. And when I heard that, I was like, oh, like, it's just one little piece of it. It's just one part of it. And that, I think, is why this has been so helpful for me, this work.
That's a really, really important awareness to include, Sina, and the visual that I've been, or sort of a reality I've been working with lately for what we're doing is, like, if you imagine this expanse of cosmos that we each are, and then there's a human aspect. One part of us at one level is human. And so we are anchoring and channeling parts of our cosmic self into our human self. Mm-hmm. Which is much smaller than the fullness of who we are. That's why we have to clear the old out of our body so that we can bring our cosmic light back in.
Yeah.
Some of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Can you set the stage for us with what is your definition of ascension?
Well, the word ascension means to ascend, to rise out of, rise up from. The idea of ascension for what we're doing now is that we are ascending out of 3D suffering, separation suffering, for good. Not in part of our lives, in part of ourself, part of the time. And when I say separation, what I mean is feeling separate from anything that we feel we could be or need. A certain form of love, resources, abundance, freedom, empowerment. To ascend now is to ascend and bring the body with us. That's why we say embodiment. That's why embodiment is part of ascension. To ascend out of the illusion of separation suffering for good. Yeah.
What's the difference between, I'll ask this question. How does ascension compare to other spiritual paths that you may be familiar with?
Generally, in spirituality, we have been connecting with higher states of consciousness, bringing some of that practice into our lives. when we ascend, we become that thing that we were connecting to. The higher light we used to connect, that we do connect to, we meditate, we do yoga, we do a practice, we do a whatever. We become that light all the time. In our bodies, in everything that we're doing all the time. Mm-hmm. We're living it. We are being that light all the time. At a certain point in ascension, this is usually kind of, if there's a midpoint, past the midpoint, and it's very natural, there's kind of a timing out of spiritual practice. Mm-hmm. In the older sense. Because you're just living pure light all the time.
Right, so you don't need to meditate strictly every morning or have this like routine that we've kind of, that I've been trained
to. Yeah, but your frequency is that high all the time.
Right.
You're running that light in your body all the time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah.
Can you speak about emotions and how that ties into our ascension process?
Well, we have to feel our feelings to bring light into the body again, and then permanently, we have to inhabit the body. In order to inhabit the body fully, we have to feel all our feelings. Emotions, of course, means energy and motion. Part of adapting to the 3D world is the entrainment to not feel most of our feelings. Mm-hmm. Emotions are how spiritual information flows through the body. When we do not feel our feelings, spiritual information is not flowing. Mm. It has been associated with, you know, it's too intense, or it's too angry, or it's too, or not, or something. That is only the result of having repressed our feelings and experience and coming out of alignment with light. So we feel all of our feelings, including the ones that don't feel happy or pretty or fun, and then our channels unblock and our emotional body purifies. And then we're feeling our feelings ongoing, and then what happens when we're feeling them all the time is stored emotions deep in the cells begin to release. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of clearing. And that happens. And as that finishes up, eventually our emotions are how spiritual intelligence is translated to bodily experience. And so we experience it in real time all the time. And that's why it's intelligent to trust your feelings and what you're doing. Mm. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel that a lot of the work that we've done together and a lot of my understanding around ascension is one main kind of piece or pillar of it is trust, and like trusting myself over anything and everything, and the depths of trust that I've been able to access compared to where I was at before starting this work. It's really profound. Like it's like I'm my own compass in a way that I've never experienced before.
Right. That's one of the amazing things about progressing into ascension. Right. The intelligent cues, it all starts to come from here. And one of the ways that we can use that is to trust our feelings all the time, that whatever we're feeling and however it seems, because we become, you know, what I'm hearing you say is becoming self-referential. So instead of it, all the directives coming from out here, they start to come from in here. They start to come from here.
Right.
And when we do that, when we keep doing it, then whatever comes with our feelings or our experience, we know that it's going to serve.
Mm-hmm. Right. So does that feel complete?
Yeah.
As much as we can. Okay, I want to bring in this, there's a big, I don't know, issue, a trend, whatever it is. People are spiritually bypassing. So there's people that are on a spiritual looking journey, maybe even channeling, you know, spiritual guidance or information from somewhere outside of themselves. Like, how does spiritual bypassing, because ascension, when you hear the word, it's like to go up, right? It's
right.
Like, it can be viewed as maybe to leave or something along those lines. So can you kind of talk about those two things in relation?
Yeah, that's such a great... Right. So ascending, by definition, the word means to go up. So it could sound like, well, why don't we just skip all the lower stuff? Like, let's just opt out of it. Let's just opt out of it. In order to ascend from the lower realities, we're not just taking our focus up. We are connecting up, which brings the higher light down. Mm-hmm. So it goes, we end up elevating. That happens by working in two directions. We access higher light and we bring that higher light lower into our depths, which have been avoided, deeper into the body, deeper into the cells, deeper into the lower chakras, deeper into unconscious ego, deeper into all of our karmic memory, all of our repressed, stored, we don't want to look at it, we'd rather not bother, bringing that higher light down. All the way into all of the karmic residue, everything distorted that we have carried, that we've participated in, that we've agreed to help. I lost you.
You're here.
I'm here. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, that's a really good. So I'll say this: when we talk about ascending, it's graduating from lower realities, if you will. That happens by connecting with higher light and bringing that higher light down. And at this point, with all the high light that's on the planet, I would say, you could say, that bringing that higher light down into what we have avoided is more important than just hanging out up here. Because this light up here is what we actually are. And that is a whole lot easier and more fun in some ways than witnessing, getting in touch with, seeing, feeling, transmuting, and clearing the parts of us that have said no, I've been hurt, I'm angry, I don't like it, I don't want to look at it, it's too sad. Somebody was hurt, I was hurt. And so what happens is that we carry these aspects of us, some egoic and unresolved karma and trauma, where we have said no to love, the love light that we are. And when we illuminate and resolve that, we don't have to try to go high. Mm-hmm. We naturally graduate. It is a natural organic ascension. That's why we don't have to necessarily reach up. You can call it channeling, but it's always there. As you ascend, it's just always there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I would say especially for the time that we're in, where so much is being released from the karmic Akash, the human earth Akash, old, the dedication part and the part that's going to liberate us is being willing to bring this high light that is now all over the planet, bring it in to the parts of us that are not on board with it.
Mm-hmm. So is that, can you speak a little bit to, you kind of just did, but like tying it together to why we're here right now in human bodies on planet Earth?
I'm probably going to get, I'm going to get emotional for this because this is really important to me. Okay. Anybody who's going to listen to this or is here with us came in with cosmic light, with starlight. So I'm anyone who will hear this, I'm speaking to everyone right now. And we all came in with this very, very high frequency cosmic light. And we took on, we had some work to do of our own. And we took on the distortions that keep the planet in separation to dissolve them in our light. There's a big truck. Recycling, sorry. So if we're here right now, it's because we came to help liberate the planet back to light. We do a lot of that through our personal, what seems like our personal experience. Mm. So what I was just talking about, where we bring the highlight down into our karmic memory and all that, that liberates the planet. It's all connected. Mm-hmm. It's not separate. The work that we do releases the density that has kept separation in place on the earth. And that's what we're here to do right now. Mm-hmm. But this, however we do that, will fulfill our purpose completely.
Hmm. So it's like by being here, we're fulfilling our purpose.
By being here and opening to what our hearts call us to. Mm-hmm. We will help illuminate the planet. And we will fulfill our purpose. And it will be the same. As we ascend, they become more inseparable. Mm-hmm. The work we do for the planet and our own ascension. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can you speak a little bit about your personal journey with this? Like, when did you start becoming consciously aware of ascension? And yeah, and how has your life changed? You can summarize that.
My path in particular, I thought was there was a lot of healing that needed to happen. And what I came to learn is that I chose a path where I was pulled outside of more conventional experience to help dissolve the old stuff that's ready to time out. And to access something that is hard to access if we want things to stay the way they are. So my ascension turned on in 99. I didn't know what it was because no one was talking about it. So I would put myself at the late end of a group that call themselves sort of the forerunners, or the first group of conscious ascenders on the planet. And many of them are in their 60s or 70s. And I sort of came in on the tail end of that. So this group that I'm kind of at the end of did a lot of density work with the old. So my ascension work in particular seems to be more of bridging from that first group to the groups that are starting to ascend now.
That's a big process to try and describe. But that makes a lot of sense. I think I would bet that many people watching this are looking for that bridging, you know, or part of that in some way.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to have worked with people who did it. I seem to offer work with people who are millennials or a younger ascension group. But I'm bridging from people who have been doing this since the 80s.
Yeah, right. How would you say that, like, having a conscious awareness of an ascension process helps empower a person in their life?
Well, the idea is that, you know, it's not really a goal that you set out to do, but you would be called to do it because you chose before you came in, and your heart starts to cue you to that. So the idea is that if we tune in to what we're already here for, that ends up making everything a lot easier.
Right.
Everything starts to make a lot more sense. We start to make more sense. Why we're here, how to be on the earth plane, and everything starts to work better when we align with what, with why we're here. So so ascension isn't about creating a particular goal for people. Ascension is attuning to your particular version of what you came in to do. It's a way to open that up for yourself. Your unique part in that. And when we begin to realize that and enjoy it and appreciate it, then we really begin, we feel like we're being ourselves. Like really our real selves. And when that happens, everything gets better. So.
Yeah. I'm curious about, you've mentioned a few times, like, you know, we've incarnated from here, and you spoke earlier about how we're, you know, there's all this, there's the cosmic, all the cosmos, there's this whole world that we are and are a part of, and the human aspect is one part of that. Can you speak a bit about that, the kind of the galaxy, the cosmic family, star beings, and our place in all of that?
As we begin to, so one of the things that happens when we become conscious of our ascension and whatever that means for us, is we start to feel the sort of love light calls of these higher connections. And then we begin to welcome them and they begin to turn on. We have a lot. What usually happens is that there are some star beings and cosmic beings that get in touch with us first because they can communicate with us the most readily where we're at and for what we're ready for. Mm-hmm. So what usually happens is we have an initial activation or connection with like Arcturians or Pleiadians, a single guide. A family. So anyone who's here and coming conscious right now has had many lifetimes working with star groups. Those connections are already there. It's a matter of when they turn on in our experience and when we become aware of them. When, as we, and it happens gradually. At first, it's like one, and it's me, and then it's more, and then it's more. The love quotient in these connections is so incredible that as they turn on, we never want them to shut off. Mm-hmm. There are different parts of ascension that we may feel resistant to. Some of the more human density clearing. The connections with our star aspects and allies, they reconnect us to what we are. When we have awakenings, activations, reconnections, communications with our star aspects and allies, we may have experiences where we feel like we're at home in those frequencies. We may feel more at home than we have ever felt in this incarnation, in those connections. Mm-hmm. The Pleiadians work with us a lot. So that is often, the Pleiadian connection can be a very accessible way to open up to your cosmic aspects. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of support. There's a lot available. I mean, I would invite, it's all there already. And we can feel like we're waiting for something to happen or work or come available, but the opposite is true. Mm. Our star families, and everyone's waiting for us.
Yeah.
They're all there right now. I mean, they're all waiting for us. Mm-hmm. Our hearts have to reopen gradually. That's the only way to bring such high frequency light down to the human experience.
Mm-hmm. So it's like we're all part of a big team, basically. Is kind of how I, like a very simple way of thinking about it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really, within what I just said, which is more general, we have organized as galactic groups for the earth work that needs to be done right now. There are particular projects that are part of Earth Ascension that are coming online in these next 2 years. Hmm. Galactically supported. Yeah.
Can you say more about like Earth Ascension?
Um,
Like, yes. Is the planet ascending along with
yeah.
it?
So the Earth has, there's a light grid around the Earth. And there are, and there's crystalline light networks within the Earth. And those were shut down.
And those are actual crystals, like the crystalline networks.
Yeah, and the, yeah.
Right.
The crystals in the Earth are part of the whole light. They conduct the light mm-hmm. for the network. So these things were shut down for a long time. And they're turning back on. Mm-hmm. And that happens through a gradual process. It's been happening gradually, mostly since the 80s. The reactivation of the crystalline, the crystals in the Earth, the crystalline reactivation of the Earth and the light around the Earth. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's really amazing. As this happens, the Earth is able to run higher frequencies of light. And so we also connect with the Earth and are connecting with higher light frequencies by connecting with the Earth. Mm-hmm. And then eventually, the planet, the frequencies of the planet will have changed to the point that there will be no separation experience that can be sustained.
Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna share something, and I'm curious to hear like your take on it. So the way that I, like what you just shared with the Earth, I think is really tied to what we were speaking to earlier about embodiment and the importance of embodiment in ascension, and how ascension, if we just think about what the word means, it means like to go up, you know? And so I think about it as like along with the Earth, we're actually doing this work to bring more light down, like you've said, and together collectively raise the frequency, raise the energy of us and the Earth together. And it's like the ascension process is not to like leave our bodies and leave Earth and go somewhere else, go to the Pleiades or something. It's like we're doing it here so that we can collectively heal and come back to union in this kind of physical place, in this physical body.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're here to ground that light and also to help channel it back into the Earth.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We're supported by the Earth's increasing light from below. And we're also bringing the light down from, yeah, the goal is to do it on the Earth in our bodies. Absolutely. Right.
And that's why embodiment is so important, because
yep.
we're not doing it. Right. It has to be done in here.
That's right.
Yeah.
It has to be done in the lower chakras where we've held the karma and trauma. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So just a quick note. For anyone that joined in a little late, we had some technical difficulties, so we started about probably 10 or 15 minutes late. So we're going to definitely extend at least to 11:15 Pacific time. So Alex has a question about that. How does the physical body need to adapt to be able to embody this amount of love light?
That's a good question. I'm not laughing at the question. I'm laughing at the scope of the answer. Well, Sina, we were going to introduce, I'm going to share this course, this Ascension Essentials course.
Yeah.
So, and I want to mention that now because it's a 7-part course with what I'm offering is the 7 Ascension Essentials. And the 6th section is all on embodiment. Mm. The body has to completely change. If you are a person who has been running a lot of love in your body and tended to your body well, and the process might be lighter. Mm-hmm. Because what happens is the higher DNA strands they've been shut down. When our DNA reactivate, we start running through those higher DNA strands, higher light frequencies through the cells. That completely changes how the cells function. Hmm. The cells begin to run on a completely different bandwidth of light. Cellular functioning changes completely in embodiment. That changes everything. Hmm. We go through a profound purification. Every design in our cellular functioning that was karmic based, that was has to be purified. These phases activate in the right time as we just engage our ascension and we're bringing light into the body. The DNA strands turn back on and the cellular functioning changes. And we will have clearings and shifts. So, the body has to change by purifying and running on higher frequency light. And that process is different for everyone.
Can you speak a little more in depth about like how are some ways that the body purifies?
Cleansing phases will turn on. The body will not work as it seemed to. Density will begin to move towards the surface. I would say that is the primary feature. Hmm. Density begins to release from the bones, the deep tissue, the cells, and the DNA, karmic density. And it moves towards the surface of the body. Mm-hmm. When this happens, the body doesn't work like it used to, and it can seem like something is going wrong. Mm. Patterns of entropy and disease will play out towards the surface, and we may even have what seems like a short run of a problem. But actually what's happening is that the light is pushing that distorted pattern out of the body. Mm-hmm. People, there will be digestive issues, mm-hmm. skin changes, itching, different sensations all over the body. Root chakra clearing, sacral chakra clearing, heart changes, mm-hmm. for example.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a lot.
Yeah.
And it also sounds like if, like, even just hearing that, having that perspective helps, you know, next time I'm sick or have some itchy rash or something, I can hopefully snap out of this like spiral of fear and just remember like, okay, this is something that's coming up to be cleared. And
right. So I would say, yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. The idea is to trust the body. To, instead of saying this is a symptom, a problem, I need to make it stop.
Right.
The body is trying to purge the density. So how can I help it do that? Like if it was a rash, trusting, like, let me let this happen. One of the best lines I ever heard a long time ago was better out than in. So the clearing has to happen. It has to happen. It doesn't matter what it takes. It doesn't matter if we sleep, how we look, how we feel. The clearing has to happen. So what's helpful is to say, how can I help my body do this better? Now, some of the fear that I get that you're speaking to is actually the cellular fear that is being released in that cleanse. So the fear that we may feel, that we may attribute to the symptom, like, oh, because I'm feeling all this fear, this symptom is a problem. No, we're feeling that fear because the body is clearing the patterning of fear and the memory of something much worse that happened in physical disease, entropy, decay, trauma. That those feeling memories are being released emotionally while the body is clearing, say with the rash. The rash, for example, I'm going to use your example. That rash could be your body cleansing what is left of a memory and a trauma of, let's say, a more serious disease in another life. You don't have to have it again to clear it, but something has to move through the body to clear the physical patterning. And when you see that, it actually, you're also clearing the memory of having something terrible happen.
Right.
So there is a feeling of fear. We want to recognize the fear as part of the clearing.
Yeah.
And say, how can I help my body release this? How can I feel my feelings? Keep them in the context of my ascension. Let me help my body clear. Toxins and heat and inflammation are moving out through the skin. That's the most surface layer. Toxins, heat, and inflammation will very, very often clear through the skin. That's a good sign.
Yeah.
Because this stuff has to release from so deep in the body. If it makes it to the skin, it's almost gone.
Beautiful. Can you share more about your course and how it will support people through any physical embodiment challenges or just everything that it will help us with?
Yes. What I would like to do is get in a time machine and offer this course to myself in 99. That's what I would like to do. So the course I'm offering is Seven Pillars of Ascension. They really all go together, but I think it's helpful to share them in a format where you engage kind of one at a time and you see how they relate. It's not a course in how to do anything. It's a course that gives it's a course that brings in the higher truth for what we're doing. It gives context for what we're doing. So it helps illuminate the human process. It gets really challenging. And then it also brings activations and frequency connection to what we're aspiring to. Support for the human level work and highlight activations.
How can you talk a bit about your, like, how did you come up with the course? How did you decide to put it, you know, Ascension is such a, can be a, such a broad, kind of hard to grasp onto topic.
That's it. That's exactly it. I really didn't formulate it. I mean, like I was saying before, it's begun to come clear that I would have a particular role in bridging mm-hmm. where we've come from and what we're here to do now. Mm-hmm. Honestly, the course was, it was just downloaded. I mean, I have to bring it through. It was 2:22 and the course just came.
Right.
So
have you ever, this is your first course as far as I know, is that right?
Yeah. You know, honestly, it does seem more appealing to just kind of vibe with highlight and not do the more human level work. Through my crystalline light work with the earth, I've developed a different connection with the sacred earth. And it became clear how fulfilling it is to ground the highlight. Mm. And so this course brings some clarity and tools for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just want to share, I've started the first week of the course, and as I mentioned in the beginning, I've been working with Leah one-on-one for 2.5 years, and just in the first module, I really understand, you know, Leah makes it sound like she just sat down at her computer and downloaded it, and you know, but it's like I also see that the 20 years of your own work that you've been doing in this is really what made it possible for you to even come on here and ground these concepts in and formulate it into a course. Because the amount that you have to bridge and like you're accessing that and that's one thing, that's a whole thing in itself to be able to access these light concepts and then to bring them into a form and put the structure around it that it can be received by a lot of people.
Right.
And I think that is really, really unique and special in this offering.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, the job really is the synthesis of all that goes into it and translating it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. Are we doing questions or?
Well, I do have one question in the chat. So yeah, let's maybe open up for just 5 minutes more of questions. So the first question is, what part is climate change playing in Earth's ascension?
The Earth has to purify herself. The way I was just talking about, like with your example, the rash.
Right.
The Earth has to do the same thing. She has to clear held trauma, mm-hmm. purify her channels. Climate change is not headed on the trajectory that 3D science might suggest. The Earth is so intelligent. She will do what she needs to do now to come into alignment with higher light, and she will also do what needs to do to purge things at the surface and help us wake up. Mm-hmm. And that is what part of climate change is, because we went to sleep on our connection with the Earth, and that is a big area of separation, and it hurts. And a lot at one level, there's been a big accumulation of karma and guilt and suffering. Mm-hmm. Us going to sleep on our connection with the earth. And we have to reawaken to that connection in the fullest sense. And that's part of the role that that climate change serves. And the earth will go through many resets and shifts and clearings herself.
Right.
Yeah.
And I kind of just want to add on to that. It sounds like I liked what you said about the earth is helping, doing whatever she needs to do to help us to wake up too. And it's like, we're through the fear of climate change and the fear of what we're being, you know, told is happening from 3D science, we're waking up and remembering how to live in symbiotic relationship, like harmonious relationship with the earth.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
So rather than part of the paradigm shift of ascension, like you said at the very beginning, Sina, is rather than reading the latest, I mean, this is what I offer. Everyone should do what feels true for them. Messages come to us how they do. And sometimes we need to see things in the world. Mm-hmm. And rather than saying, okay, who on the outside is going to tell me about what's happening with the earth and how worried I should be? Mm-hmm. The idea is to reclaim our connection with the earth and to light up with her. And if there is an aspect of weather or an earth pattern that really speaks to our heart and gets our attention, like we were having drought, I'm in Arizona. Mm-hmm. So I started working with the rain and calling, you know, working with the water and calling the rain. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean it's all up to me. The earth will still do what she needs to do, but
right.
I'm connected to that. So we work with it. Mm-hmm.
Kind of a piggybacking question. Is it a similar trajectory for Earth to heal from human suffering and division as to heal from, hold on. I think I get the question. I think the question is saying, is the Earth's trajectory of healing similar to the human trajectory of healing?
Is that
Raya, if you want to clarify, I'm just having a little bit of a trouble. Is it similar to
everything? I mean, I can speak to that if you feel like that's the
I think that's the question. Why don't you just type, oh. Can you compare, okay. So what you just shared about climate change, can you compare that to what's happening in like the human social division and separation that's happening?
The collective, the human collective.
Yes. Yeah. Like politics, for example.
Yeah. Me Too movement, all that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the earth herself, as a being, she doesn't have an ego. So it's a little different that way. I'm just going to speak to what I see happening in the collective. But the way it's similar to the earth is the resolution of polarity. Things that seem to be in conflict with each other, that when there's love light, they're in harmony. So the whole idea of yin yang, male, female, when everything is aligned with love, all the elements are a harmonious whole. Mm-hmm. The lion can lie down with the lamb. That's the end of polarity. So in that sense, it is the saying that the earth is clearing her memories and traumas and patterns of separation, polarity. So if you have yin and yang and those parts separate, they polarize. Mm-hmm. And the more separation there is, the more there seems to be density and conflict between those poles. The earth is clearing all those patterns. Mm-hmm. And so is the human collective. So the thing of the different, I want to make a really clear distinction between kind of going into the fray of the collective versus getting really in tune with your own purpose. Because there's so much happening in the surface. It looks very extreme. Mm-hmm. We cannot resolve anything that hurts or seems wrong by going outside of ourselves or by looking outside of ourselves for something or someone else to tell us how our reality is or should be. Mm-hmm. In ascension, like you were saying with your sort of self-trust increase, mm-hmm. we start to live from the inside out. The collective is playing out all the patterning. The collective is like fighting with the mirror. The outside reflects what we're running inside. And when we are not awake, when we're not waking up and ascending and in our hearts and tuning in, then we think that it's all in the mirror. And if we want it to be different, we start fighting with the mirror, which is about as effective as trying to make your mirror look different so that your face is different. It's the same.
Right.
So when we ascend, if we feel called to engage, there's lovely ways you can connect and share and empower. Mm-hmm. So I'm by no means suggesting that if we feel called to step in, act, speak up, support, we should do that. Mm-hmm. The prompt should come from here.
Right. Yeah. So it's like definitely invitation or encouragement to take action, but it needs to start from within.
Not because we're avoiding our internal karma and we feel guilty when we see other people hurting or right. we see someone else do it and we're in competition because we need to do as much good stuff or anything like that. It's an extension of our ascension.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Mm-hmm. So if you feel like you need to go to a protest or something, you can do that. And a lot of the people there will be completely focused on the external. And there will be a lot of anger. And the frequencies will be separation-based. They will be. It's polarized. And the polarity is heightening. And to finish answering the question, the polarity is playing out to help purge all of the polarized energy that the collective's been holding. At some point, it will drain. It'll just drain. And there won't be any left.
To me, I see it as very similar to the process of the singular body and the earth body. The collective human body is doing the same thing, where we're through these really intense, charged interactions and situations that are happening. It's just like a rash coming up out of my own body. It's like this is the mucky density that's coming up and out, and it's playing out because it's time. it's able to.
The clearing process is very similar. The difference between how the polarity is purging with the collective and how it would clear for us when we're consciously ascending, mm-hmm. is that we have more of a bandwidth that also includes higher light, and we're working from the directives of our higher self, mm-hmm. as opposed to still being identified with only the lower frequencies and that are not informed by higher light.
That's where the collective is at right now.
Right. Right. It's like the light is pushing it out, but it's not a conscious process. It's an unconscious clearing.
Yeah.
Instead of a conscious one.
Yeah. Okay. That's a really important distinction.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Okay. We have one last question. This is a good one. Maybe relevant to the course. I'm not sure. How do you suggest we move through spells of not wanting to be here?
Oh, that's such a good question. I just want to thank the person who asked that.
Thanks, Sophia.
There's a few reasons that we cycle through that. There's different forms of it. First of all, anybody who's listening to this is inherently cosmic. And that means that the level of separative 3D reality on Earth does not feel like home. It just doesn't. Even when things seem to be going well and they're nicer and they're more fun. So to that experience, I want to say that for cosmic beings on Earth, the separative level of reality is not a place that we want to be in. As the Earth goes through this cleansing process and the collective goes through this cleansing process, when we're really feeling that at the human level, and we're not running as much high light, we won't want to be here for a minute. I think it's really important to open our hearts to that and to not feel guilty about it or worry about it at all. Mm-hmm. It's just like, wow, it's really not that fun to be on the planet today. I'd rather live on Venus or wherever.
Mm-hmm.
Another star, another planet. So that's going to happen. I would say that a good response for that is to first go into the heart and then to remember that that's only one level of our experience.
Hmm.
And it's actually fundamentally the least real because separation is fundamentally an illusion, which is why ascension is so amazing.
Hmm.
We don't just opt out of something that's not great for something better. We dissolve the illusion.
Mm-hmm.
So when we really don't want to be here, something helpful to do is to be really compassionate with that and just say, okay, like, I'm just going to accept that.
Mm-hmm.
And we might listen to it. We might get more info about why that is. That might end up being really useful about where we come from. Mm-hmm. Listening, feeling those feelings about why we don't want to be here can sometimes put us in touch with our purpose and where we come from. Also, just to feel better, we can make sure that we're connecting with higher frequencies because that's where the real truth is, and that's also where we feel more at home.
Mm. A really important kind of follow-up question. This is a big topic, but I feel like it's really important. From like the traditional mental health perspective, you know, a feeling of not wanting to be here is not okay, not good. It's right. And can you, as you're answering, can you also share, because you come from a psychologist background?
Yes, my master's degree is in art therapy, and I did conventional. I did art therapy and psychotherapy for 10 years professionally.
Yeah. So you definitely know that world.
Yes.
Yeah.
So did you get to ask your whole question?
Yeah. If you can just speak about, you know, it's because I think a lot of that for those of us that are consciously ascending, not feeling here is a pretty common experience. Not wanting to be here. Sorry. The feeling of not wanting to be here is common. And so just, but then it's easy to feel shame or guilt around that because
I'm really, really, really glad that you included that. And I would like to speak to that. This just came up with somebody recently. Okay. So Not wanting to be here, right? Clinically speaking, and in modern psychology, that would be called depression.
Right.
Right. And there is this very established collective story, sort of agreement, collective reality, that these types of experiences and feelings should be pathologized. Mm-hmm. And that if we entertain them, we might even be putting ourselves at risk.
Right.
And so then what we do is we keep them kind of as we, it's automatically a problem. We even want to, instead of opening to it, we want to keep it a secret from ourselves. And then we feel ashamed. Mm-hmm. We only feel ashamed of things that feel like they should be a secret. If something's not a secret, we can't be ashamed of it. So what depression actually is, I'm going to summarize here really quick because I could spend 15 minutes on this and I'm not going to. What depression actually is aspects of us that have been in separation and they've been stuck separate. There's density, there's dense, heavy energy keeping aspects of us separate. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to come back to us. When they move to reintegrate with us, the first thing that we feel is all the density that those aspects have been trapped in. Low, heavy, I don't really feel alive, or I don't want to be alive, or I'm not worthy of being alive, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or there's no way it works, or I'm not connected, or la la la. The minute we begin to feel that density, that's the window in which it can begin to transmute in our light. So actually, when we begin to feel the density that has been called depression, that's the beginning of it dissolving to reintegrate that aspect of us that has been trapped in that density. Then the response has been to be afraid of it, to call it taboo, to repress it, to medicate it, to shut it down. Then the transmutation process and reintegration that started to happen when we got in touch with that density doesn't happen. It gets frozen there. And we don't get to have that process. Mm. Is that clear? Because I really want it to be clear.
Yeah. So Sophia said, this is exactly what it feels like. Thank you, Leah.
Yeah.
She also shared that she's chosen not to medicate. And so I think that's, she's like choosing not to seek quote-unquote traditional mental health method.
Yeah, and without judging anybody who's used medication, I mean, they have served or whatever. I want to honor and acknowledge her for that choice, because I'm sure in moments it wasn't easy, took courage. And right, so the medication just means we don't feel the feelings that feel too hard or scary that would allow the transmutation process, and then of the density. The density clears and then we're more whole. Mm-hmm. And then we want to be alive more. And so for the person that asked this question, what's her name?
Sophia.
Sophia, and anyone else who feels similarly, I really, really would encourage everyone to just drop the collective story of what that experience is. Hmm. Just drop it. I mean, the DSM-4 with the diagnoses and the list of symptoms. And I completely explored that world. The reason I do not use any of that is because it's all based on an idea of something that we're not. Mm. So it doesn't help us get back to ourselves. It keeps us confused about what we are.
Mm. It's a relief to hear that. Sophia says, thank you, thank you. I felt over and over, even in my despair, that for me it was not the choice. I can't speak for others. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Sophia, for bringing this to light. Yeah, it's important. And I would also say, for Sophia and anyone else with, you know, similar challenge, talk to your higher self and ask your guides, whoever you work with, angels, just your, it can just be your higher self. Ask your higher self to help bring down the light frequencies that will more quickly dissolve that density. So that one, you feel more accepting of yourself while it's in process, and two, it can go more quickly and feel more graceful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another person, Mab, shared that they went through a major portal of clearing this density depression as well. After on and off meds, I went the no meds path. It was a spiritual initiation, and not pathologizing is so key. Pathologizing is so key.
Yeah, right. And that's the perfect word. So I would just invite everyone. I mean, I would just honor anyone who's facing this. And I would say this is parts of your sacred essence trying to return to you. Mm. And there is a collective reflex to fear and pathologize anything like this. And we can just drop the pathology. We just drop it.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you everyone for sharing. Amy also, another person, Amy, shared that it deeply resonates with her as well. So this is a really important topic. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. I think we could talk forever. And I feel pretty complete. Is there anything else that you want to share with the group?
Well, as these questions are coming in, or comments and questions about depression. I mean, what I'm actually getting kind of from my guidance is it's being highlighted from my end in response to what people are bringing in, that it's a really active topic for groups who are uncomfortable, in part because the old realities are working less and they're being called to consciously ascend.
Right.
So, you know, we'll see, Sina and I, if we do more of these, you know, we could take questions in advance, topics or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be beautiful.
And we could have an area of focus mm-hmm. like this, where right. we, and people could write in with examples, because there's, you know, it often speaks to many people. When someone offers an example, it's really helpful for the group. Mm-hmm. Makes it real.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Leah. It was so illuminating.
Thank you, Sina, for all of your brilliant everything, organizing, jumping through hoops. Awesome. Yeah. Thank you, everyone who joined us also. Yeah. Lots of love.
So yeah. Good questions. We'll send the recording out. Lots of love.
Bye.
Bye.